This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed Friday, killing six U.S. soldiers in what has become the deadliest week for Americans in Iraq since combat was declared over in May. Two Americans were also killed in separate attacks Thursday and Friday in the northern city of Mosul, raising concerns that the insurgency was spreading north, and a total of 32 U.S. soldiers have died in the first week of November. It was not immediately clear whether the chopper was brought down by hostile fire or a mechanical failure, but several officers who asked not to be identified said it was probably hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. Secretary of State Colin Powell and Turkey's foreign minister have agreed that Turkey will not send peacekeeping troops to Iraq, officials said Friday, after plans for a deployment raised sharp oppositions from Iraqis. The decision reverses what had been a significant victory for Washington, which has pressed hard for Turkey to join peacekeeping efforts in its neighbor to the southeast to help U.S. troops there. Turkey is the only majority Muslim nation in NATO. Powell and Foreign Minister Abdullah Gül spoke Thursday night by telephone and agreed that the offer of Turkish troops would be withdrawn. The Bush White House, irritated by pesky questions from congressional Democrats about how the administration is using taxpayer money, has developed an efficient solution. It will not entertain any more questions from opposition lawmakers. House Committee Democrats had just asked for information about how much the White House spent making and installing the Mission Accomplished banner for President Bush's May 1st speech aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln. It would also do another thing, prevent Democrats from getting questions answered without the blessing of the GOP committee chairman. The FBI will be able to more easily check a person's background for potential terrorist activities under national security guidelines issued Wednesday. The guidelines enable the FBI to conduct a threat assessment without initial evidence of a crime or national security threat as required to begin a more formal investigation. Civil libertarians said the rules could invite abuses against innocent people. More after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Police chase took on a new meaning when a Virginia motorist, angry about getting a speeding ticket, went after the officer who issued the citation, slamming her car into his cruiser several times, adding a felonious assault charge to her speeding violation. She took a traffic summons and turned it into a felony charge, said a police spokesman. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Drive carefully.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Stand by for this breaking news. Rich people can be criminals, too. It might not seem very newsy that the well-heeled elites of corporatedom can have criminal natures even darker than your common mugger, especially in these days of corporate infamy on parade, when the barons of Enron, Tyco, WorldCom, HealthSouth, Arthur Andersen, Implone, and so many, many more are in the dock, and when even our nation's president and vice president have been caught in corporate hanky-panky. After all, who does more harm, the guy who holds up a 7-Eleven or Kenneth Lay, the ex-CEO of Enron, who sat in his penthouse coolly counting the $100 million he personally took from Enron in its last year as the company crashed, costing thousands of workers their jobs and thousands of small shareholders their retirement nest eggs? Yet, it wasn't until 1939 that the term white-collar crime was coined. And even then, the powers that be shrank from calling the finaglers, defrauders, and other thieves up in the executive suites criminals. Misguided, yes. Even illegal, but criminal? Well, that's activity that only the lower classes engage in. Even today, the thieves in high places receive far less punishment than those in low places. CEOs have hefty bank accounts, influential friends, high-dollar lawyers, and PR consultants to get them off, or at least escape any serious jail time. There's even a sociologist who rationalizes their criminal behavior by maintaining that because executive elites are ambitious and competitive, they build up tension that must be relieved, sometimes by stealing. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Aw, poor snookums. They're not criminals, you see. They're merely tents." Imagine Joe Schmo, the bank robber, saying to the judge, "I'm not a criminal, I'm just ambitious, and I've built up a lot of tension recently." How quickly would he be tossed in the slammer?
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, "I don't boogie"?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
When you're swallowing all life's
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And you can always email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. I had a real good laugh today. I didn't realize this. A couple of weeks ago when the Fox News Network had a piece on liberal talk, and I confessed on the air here that one of the producers at Fox News Network begged and wheedled and pleaded and said, we'd like to include you in that. Okay, so I let the crew come in, and they did about it was a very short piece, maybe 2.5-minute package, and they were in here for what, Kathy, an hour and a half? And as usually happens with that, they used maybe 45 seconds of my part of it. There were some other people involved, some other talk show hosts. But anyway, I made the comment during the interview, and they apparently kept it in what they showed on Fox News Network. That's hard to say. It's hard for me to call them a news network. Anyway, the quote that they kept was a rather lengthy quote I said about right-wing talk radio. People who listen to right-wing talk radio, they're lemmings. They can't think for themselves. They do exactly what they're told, yada, yada, yada. Now, you and I know that's the truth. So apparently, after they ran it, they had the script on their website, just like most of these cable news networks do. So, make a long story even longer, when we came back from vacation, there were about 15 or 20 emails at the MikeDMalloy@AOL.com from Fox Lemmings, you know, the Lemmings that watch Fox News Channel. It was just hysterical. I kept them all, but all of them said essentially the same thing. We are not lemmings. How dare you accuse us of being knee-jerk followers of Limbaugh and right-wing? We do our own research. Now, the thing is, almost every one of them said that. never mind. You had to have been there. George Bush. Let me back up. Bill Clinton. Remember the story, the apocryphal story, really, about Bill Clinton and his Air Force One, and he was sitting at on the runway at LAX getting a haircut, and all the traffic was tied up. The airport traffic was tied up. You know, that's just like Al Gore invented the internet, and Al Gore was the model for Love Story, and yada yada. All, you know, all that drivel and tripe and trash and lies that Republicans put out during the Clinton years. The one that I found most lightweight was the Clinton sitting on the tarmac at LAX getting a haircut. Well, here's a George Bush story about Air Force One. This was in today's Twin Cities. What is it? Pioneer Press. Twin Cities. Letters to the editor is what it is actually. Our senior correspondent Chris out in Minnesota sent this to me. It was a letter to the editor from a guy named Jerry Johnson in Bloomington, Minnesota. And what he's talking about here is a guy named Charles Kaiser of Garrettson, South Dakota. When he got his driver's license, he signed up to be an organ donor. And he was killed in a car wreck right around the time that George Bush and Air Force One were scheduled to land in this particular area where this driver lived. Now, the medical team had removed his heart, Charles Kaiser of South Dakota, and they were trying to get it to a heart recipient who was waiting for the heart. The harvest team's airplane was grounded because Bush's Air Force One was scheduled to land. Now, it doesn't say here whether or not the targeted heart recipient died. Well, obviously, we know the donor died. Duh. But we don't know if the recipient died. What we do know, according to the letter to the editor in the Twin Cities newspaper, is that the organ donor flight, the harvest team's flight, was grounded because Bush was scheduled to land. And the writer of this letter says, how in God's name can a fundraiser, that's what Bush was there for, how in God's name could a fundraiser be put ahead of a person's life? And then the writer states the obvious. Bush could have placed that heart on Air Force One and gotten it to its recipient faster than anyone on earth. Isn't that what America is all about? Well, no, Jerry Johnson, that's not what America is all about. America is all about greed and self-references and what's in it for me. And George W. Bush is the personification of that attitude, right? Now let's say that I'm just going to make a leap of faith here and say that the person for whom the heart was targeted, he died too. Now, remember the Arizona man that was killed after he evaded a checkpoint set up for Bush's visit to an area of southern Arizona that had been through forest fires? You know, Bush was going to visit and talk about his I don't know, what is it called? Let's see, the Clear Skies Initiative is to pollute the atmosphere. What's the tree thing, Kathy? Do you remember? The Healthy Forest Initiative, that's right, where he chopped down all the trees. So Bush was out there to chop down all the trees for a photo op. And this poor bastard was apparently intoxicated. He thrust a beer. He was driving some sort of an SUV, a Chevy Suburban. He got to the checkpoint, thrust a beer out of the vehicle's window, briefly stopped, and then sped away. The guy was drunk. He said something to the effect that he was going to die on the mountain. So they accommodated. The man was shot to death after refusing to stop. He was pronounced dead at the University Medical Center in Tucson. Authorities said the incident delayed security checks in preparation for Bush's visit to the area. Every place this guy goes, people die, right? Huh? People just, whether it's Iraq or Arizona or South Dakota, any place Bush shows up, people die. Have I mentioned tonight yet that I hate these Republicans? I have? No, I haven't? Okay, I just did. Christiane Amanpour got taken to the woodshed. We talked about this the other night. She was a guest on last week's Topic A with Tina Brown on CNBC. She set off shockwaves in the TV world when she said she thought her employer, CNN, was muzzled in its war coverage by a combination of the White House and Fox News channel, right? Christiane said, yeah, you know, it's a self-censorship. What she said was, I think the press was muzzled, and I think the press self-muzzled. I'm sorry to say that, but certainly television, and perhaps to a certain extent my station, was intimidated by the administration and its foot soldiers at Fox News. Now, CNN's news chief, Jim Walton, according to New York Post today, had a private conversation with Christiane Amanpour. He had a private conversation, right? Now, CNN issued a statement denying it was cowed by anyone in its coverage of the war. They said that they have no plans to reprimand Christiane Amanpour. Jim Walton, CNN news chief, said, I respect her. Mm-hmm. And he went on to say that Christiane Amanpour speaks for herself and not for CNN. And remember that when we shared the story last night, a Fox News spokeswoman said, well, you know, it's better to be viewed as a foot soldier for Bush than a spokeswoman for Al-Qaeda. Well, there it is, the truth. The spokeswoman for Fox admits they're nothing more than foot soldiers for George W. Bush. That's what she said. That's what the Fox News spokeswoman said. It's better to be viewed as a foot soldier for Bush than a spokeswoman for Al-Qaeda. How do you like that? A spokeswoman for Al-Qaeda. Because Christiane Amanpour says, you know, we self-censored a bit during this war. We did it at CNN, intimidated by the White House, intimidated by the foot soldiers at Fox News. And then this... Here comes a bad word, okay? Here it comes. Get away from your radio. This bitch at Fox News. Ooh. The Fox News spokeswoman said, well, it's better to be viewed as a foot soldier for Bush than a spokeswoman for Al-Qaeda. By the way. Wow. Hey, next hour, we're going to give away two more signed copies, autographed copies of Jim Hightower's latest book, Thieves in High Places. We'll have a political trivia next hour. All right? And again, in case you missed it last night, welcome to WSDS AM 1480 in Salem, Detroit, a new affiliated station for this program. All right, what else we got here, Kathy? Oh, yeah, remember last night we played for you all the sound bites of Dick Cheney from Media Whore Number 1, Tim Russert's program. Meet the Press? Facing the Meet the Press, where Cheney knew nothing. You heard it last night, all the sound bites, no matter what Media Whore Number 1, Tim Russert, asked this demon, Dick Cheney, the answer, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know that. Well, today... The psychopathic Don Rumsfeld followed suit. And you got to hear this. It was at a press conference, Department of Defense briefing today. And no matter what he was asked, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. These guys are like a pair of Colonel Klinks, right? Do you know who Colonel Klink is? Yeah? All right. What... What else have we got here for you this evening? We have a lot of stuff for you here this evening. Remember last, 10 days or so ago, we talked about how Alabama, Republican governor of Alabama, Bob Riley, needed to raise taxes, right? Because Alabama is just sinking into the swamp. Alabama is disappearing. They'll probably be the first state in the 50 to go utterly and totally bankrupt. But Bob Riley came out and said it's a Christian thing to do. Wealthy people are supposed to, according to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus H. Christ, wealthy people are supposed to take care of the less fortunate. That's, you know, and he cited all this biblical jive turkey nonsense. But Bob Riley, being an evangelical Christian, and Alabama being one of the buckles of the Bible Belt, Riley thought, well, this is how I'll get this tax increase passed. I'll appeal to the Christ-like nature of the residents of Alabama. Well, of course, the tax increase was turned down 2-1. The Christ-like people of Alabama, the good Christians of Alabama, just raised their middle finger to the solvency of their state and the concerns of the governor, where it concerns maintaining the solvency of that state. They all said, piss off. We don't care. We're not Christians. We are only fake Christians. We don't give a damn if the state sinks. And just, well, guess what? When we come back, I'm going to tell you how... The state of Alabama now, what they have to do. You think it was bad in Alabama before? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Stick around.
I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
System. Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Your taxes low, but they have no right to wield that sword, cause they take their orders from the chairman of the board. IMF, WTO.
24 past the hour. All right, so Alabama. These poor people in Alabama, I swear to God, Bob Riley, the fundamentalist Christian governor there, needed a tax increase to pay for services that people just take for granted in Alabama. People said no. They turned him down 2-1. So state officials who begged for this tax increase and were soundly rejected by voters, now they're offering some grim predictions about the consequences of this half-witted, asinine vote. Among the expected consequences are an increase in crime, an increase in traffic deaths. At a news conference a few days ago, officials said the cuts Governor Bob Riley proposed Monday, he has to, he has no choice, is going to hurt health care and education, lead to more crime and car accidents because state trooper patrols will be reduced. They're going to have to release people from prison, which may not be a bad idea. Attorney General Bill Pryor, the guy whom Bush wanted to have confirmed to the U.S. Court of Appeals, Bill Pryor, who is the attorney general there, said, "My advice would be for people to do what they can to lawfully protect their homes and families." That means arm yourself. If you live in Alabama, go buy some guns. You ought to have guns anyway, but go buy some guns. Because what you've done, you people in Alabama, you people who voted against this tax increase necessary to keep your state running, you have guaranteed now all sorts of things. All sorts of things. The governor now wants to increase paroles, for example, from about 80 a week to 200 a week. The attorney general said that will have dangerous consequences, given that roughly 25% of Alabama inmates commit another crime within 2 years of release. Pryor said at a news conference, "These individuals are not all going to go back to the community engaged in law-abiding activities." Really? Additional budget cuts include switching state troopers to a four-day work week, curtailing their overtime, and limiting their driving to 150 miles a day. State troopers in Alabama are not going to be allowed to drive more than 150 miles a day. What else? State health officer in Alabama, Don Williamson, has had to freeze enrollment in a program that provides health insurance to children from low-income families. So if you live in Alabama and you are thinking about enrolling your low-income child in a health care program, forget about it. When your kid gets sick now, your kid can just die. Okay? When your kid gets sick, call the undertaker. Because your kid's going to die and the state of Alabama will do nothing for you. What else? Under Medicaid, recipients who are getting medication, prescription drugs, gone. If you are diabetic, if you have high blood pressure, if you have a thyroid condition, if you have a heart condition, you live in Alabama, you better move your ass out of there and your other body parts too. Because in the state of Alabama now, if you get those prescriptions through Medicaid, in other words, if you're poor, remember this is what this is all about. The governor said, look, it says in the Bible, Jesus H. Christ said that the wealthy are supposed to help the less fortunate. Well, and the voters of Alabama said, the hell we are. No, no, not us, dude. So if you are a Medicaid recipient in Alabama and you get to prescription drugs, you better move because you're going to die. You are going to die because you're not going to have your medication anymore. If you go to school in Alabama, you better move. Spending on textbooks ended. Spending on computers, finished, gone. Oh, if you're in a hospice, move out. Hospice care for individuals who are dying, the money's cut. So the last days of you people in Alabama, a lot of you, it's going to be just real miserable. You're going to have to die in the street. No more hospice. Handicapped citizens, no longer. The young kids that go to a handicapped camp, gone. It goes on and on. Don't you love this?
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A fisheries expert argues for more scientific study of life at sea. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The field of conservation biology has pushed science beyond the study of living organisms to the study of ways to protect them. One scientist who works in this field says it's a pretty dry subject. In fact, he says it's too dry, and a lot more work needs to be done on conservation science at sea. Phil Levin is a fisheries biologist in Seattle for the National Marine Fisheries Service. He and a colleague examined 7 journals that focus on conservation biology to see how often they carried articles about conservation science in the marine world. They looked at more than 5,000 articles that were published since 1996, and fewer than 10% covered wet subjects. Levin says that's not completely surprising. For one thing, the people who started the field of conservation biology were experts who studied plants and animals that live on land, not in the water.
It wasn't surprising in some sense that the early work was biased towards terrestrial issues. We found it somewhat alarming given the state of some marine habitats that that bias is still there.
Levin says the oceans are being strained by pollution, overfishing, and changes in the Earth's climate. He says we need more research to study these problems and to find ways to resolve them. Levin says his study of the scientific literature ended last June. That means it does not represent research that's now underway or due to start up in the near future.
And there seems to be a lot of interest and work going on marine conservation, so I'm actually very optimistic that things are going to change for the better.
Levin's study was published last August in the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Sweet home Alabama, my ass. Boy, I'll tell you. Anyway, to recap very quickly, the voters in Alabama were asked to approve a tax increase to fund absolutely essential services in that state, like highway patrolmen and prison guards and Medicaid prescription drugs and school textbooks, things like that. And they turned it down. The citizens of Alabama said no, to hell no, double, triple hell no, by a vote of 2-1 margin. And this is after the Republican fundamentalist Christian governor of Alabama, Bob Riley, begged and pleaded and said, well, Jesus H. Christ would do this. This is what it says in the Bible. It says in the Bible, amen, that the rich are supposed to take care of the less fortunate, amen. But the voters of Alabama, the good Christians who live over there, said, you got to be kidding, dude. That's not the Christ we know. The Christian religion we know is like the, what's that book, Kathy, about greed? The book of...
Prayer of
Prayer of Jabez, right. The Atlanta-based fundamentalist minister who said, look, don't pay attention to all this Christ nonsense about being charitable and the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus wants you to be rich. So in Alabama now, because the voters rejected a 2-to-1 children helped by special learning programs, gone. Handicapped citizens who would go to this day camp in Alabama on Lake Martin can't go anymore. No. Trials are going to take longer because there will be fewer court clerks. Highways will be less safe because no more construction, no more repair on the highways, on the interstates even. Forget the state roads. Troopers, they're going to be put on a 4-day work week and told, this is like Barney Fife, you get one bullet. They say to the state troopers in Alabama now, you can only drive 150 miles a day. If you've driven 149 miles and 5 miles down the road, somebody shot dead in a robbery, you can't go. Dear God. What else is going to happen in Alabama? The state health officer there froze enrollment in the Children's Health Insurance Program, which provides health insurance coverage to 61,000 children from low-income families who wouldn't have it otherwise. And trust me, truth seekers, for those of you who live in other parts of the country, there are a lot of poor folk who have poor children in the great state of Alabama. Nursing home care, in order to get into a nursing home now in Alabama, you've got to be utterly, absolutely destitute and bankrupt. You have to get rid of all your assets, bro. State Superintendent of Education Ed Richardson says severe cuts, textbook purchases eliminated. That's what it says right here in the, what newspaper is this? This is the Times Daily, Alabama newspaper. Textbook purchases eliminated. Library purchase eliminated. Computer purchases eliminated. Funding reduced for teacher supplies. In addition, funding will be cut for programs that help students at risk of dropping out. Drop out, you little bastards! We don't care! We're Christians here! Don't you understand, boy? Life is hell! You get your reward when you go to heaven! Now get saved! Alabama. Now, what is intriguing about the story is all 50 states are facing fiscal crises. Do you remember 3 or 4 years ago during the Clinton era when the states had so much money they didn't know what the hell to do? And it was just an endless supply was going to come rolling in because of the Clinton economy, the largest expansion of the economy in the history of this republic. And then the Supreme Court put George Bush into the executive branch of government, and everything has gone right down the crapper. Again, I challenge any of you brain-dead, lemming-like Republicans, any of you, to call this program. And tell me one thing George Bush has done positive for this country or any segment of this country other than his millionaire friends since he's been in office. I challenge, I'll give you one of Jim Hightower's books. By Christ, I will. I'll give you 2 of them. You can't do it. You can't do it. He's an abomination. Is this impeachable? Nah. Not yet. So, in Alabama, where you have a fundamentalist Christian, just like George, a fundamentalist Christian governor, who said to the people of Alabama, look, this is what Jesus would do. It says in the Bible, somewhere in there, I don't know. But I'm Bob Riley, I'm the governor, I'm a Republican, I'm a Christian fundamentalist, y'all don't trust me. And the voters of Alabama said, stick it in your ear, Gov. We ain't interested. Let them poor wretches suffer. We don't care. Hospice care. Gone! Can you believe this? Education destroyed. Well, Mike, I didn't know they had education over in Alabama. Unbelievable. Why am I getting so riled up about this? Like, I could, you know, I live in Georgia. Oh, Jesus, that's why. because this is the obvious result in one state of the Bush crime family. These filthy, filthy, filthy destroyers of this country. This is just one state. Now, I know a lot of you people live in the West Coast, East Coast, up north. Alabama? Well, the hell with Alabama! That's not the point. The point, all 50 states are in this trouble, in this situation. But it is so ironic to me. I mean, the irony here is so thick you can cut it with a Bible. The irony of a fundamentalist Christian governor Republican. Please, please help us out here, citizens. We're going to go belly up. The whole damn state's going to tank. And then the Attorney General, William Pryor, tells the citizens of Alabama, because of this fiscal train wreck, to go arm themselves. That's essentially what Bill Pryor is saying. Well, you know, we're going to have to turn loose all these criminals. Hell, we can't afford to farm them out to Louisiana and Mississippi anymore. We're going to have to bring them home, turn them loose. And you know what? Here in Alabama, hell, a fourth of them go back out and rape, murder, loot, and kill. Arm yourself. Arm yourself. Get your guns. George W. Bush. What a loser. What a thug. What a destroyer of this economy, this country. Okay, I need to pause for a minute here because I can feel the veins in my forehead pounding. Dan is calling from Richmond, California. Dan, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, I'm from Richmond, and I am one liberal. And we do not, because of the SEC, Michael Powell, we do not have very many liberals speaking on air.
No, you don't.
Or on TV compared to Fox. Mm-hmm. And I'm just one really grateful that I had just happened to listen to you on iTunes when I bought my computer.
Well, I'm glad you found us, too. Isn't it a crying shame, though, that you have to scrounge around on a computer?
Oh, I had to search for hours. I mean, we had this one station called KGO that has two liberals.
Right.
But other than that,
That's Bernie Ward's station, isn't it?
Yeah, Bernie Ward and Ray Talfaro. And
right.
Other than that, there's these media conglomerates that just like to gobble up things pretty much.
Sure, sure.
And it's just sad that we have people like Ann Coulter, Pat Robinson, you know, calling us these anti-Americans.
Yeah.
And it's just, look where these people are from, Alabama, you know?
Yeah, it's really a shame what's happened in Alabama, but it's going to happen in Arizona. It's going to happen in Mexico. God knows what's going to happen in California.
Oh, I know. This recall is going to help everything. Well, it's not.
No.
I mean, we're going to have Orville, you know, go on.
I'll tell you what, though. There is a silver lining behind that cloud because the Ninth Circuit court out there has stopped this nonsense, and it's not going to happen now probably until March when your next primary is, and that's going to bring out a lot more Democrats. So.
Yeah, and now we have saying it's a left-wing conspiracy.
Right.
That's all about. It's a left-wing conspiracy when they have Bill Clinton go on. And,
yeah, right.
It's hilarious. Hey, I thank you for your show, and I'll go off the air now.
All right. Well, thanks, Dan. Good to hear from you. Good to hear from you, Dan. Yeah, the California recall. The reason the Ninth this is so funny. The reason the Ninth Circuit Court said no, we're going to stop this right now, is because if the vote went ahead as scheduled, using these defective punch card ballots in some areas, 44% of the people who live in California live in counties where their punch card ballots, right? Hello, Florida. Tens of thousands of votes would not be counted because the machines routinely, we've been down this road, spit out the cards, no matter what the voter intended. If the Chad is not punched all the way through, oh, God, this sounds so 2000, doesn't it? If the Chad is not pushed completely out, the machine doesn't count the vote. So since 40,000 Californians, that's the best estimate, would have their ballots rejected, that sort of mass disenfranchisement is unacceptable. Anybody with a brain God gave a garbage can lid would understand that.
But this jackass Sean Hannity, it's a left-wing conspiracy. Oh, it's a hijacking of the judicial system. We want Florida all over again.
It also violates the equal protection principle, right? Voters in the county stuck with punch cards are more likely than other Californians to have their ballots thrown out. And guess what? Counties using the punch cards have nearly 50% more members of minorities than the others. Oh, what about that? Well, as the Bush crime family and the Republican thugs proved in Florida in 2000, Negroes and the brown-skinned brothers from Latin America, their votes are not to be counted. Not in Florida, not in California, nowhere. So, using the punch cards would be in direct violation of the Voting Rights Act, right? Because more minority than white votes would be tossed out, right? Now, here's the fun part. Oh, God, I just can't wait for the next step. Because the supporters of the recall, Daryl Issa and the rest of these punk-ass Republicans, they say they're going to get the Supreme Court to review this. Yes! Let's supposing the Supreme Court does review it. That would put the Supreme Court in a very awkward position, wouldn't it? If they rule that California's ballots do not violate equal protection, won't that be a confirmation that they applied a different standard of equal protection for George Bush? Yes, Mike, it would! So you see what's going on. This is great. This is the law of unintended consequences just in full flower. These Republican thugs who decided to overthrow a twice-elected governor of California because he's a Democrat now find themselves in a position where the thugs on the Supreme Court who put Bush in power may have to rule may have to rule that the recall in Florida, in California, is invalid. If they rule it's valid, then it shows that the U.S. Supreme Court, the five justices who put this moron in the White House, had a different standard where it concerned George Bush. I love this. I'm sorry for the people of California who are going through this, but just when you think it can't get any flakier, just when you think the little furry animals can't run any faster in those little wheels round and round and round and round, huh? This comes up. Unbelievable. Well, I love it. I want this. I hope Daryl Issa and the rest of these Republican jackasses will now. Issa said he would pay. He'd be kicking another $1 million to take this to the U.S. Supreme Court. Do it! Do it! Oh, please do it! Don't we want to see Rehnquist and Scalia, Fat Tony, and Clarence, Uncle Clarence? Don't we want to see these guys rule on the California case? Oh, don't we? You go, Daryl Issa. You take this to the Supreme Court. Do it. Please, Jesus! I mean, we need some comic relief in this in these times, and you Republicans are providing it now. Please don't stop. Don't be intimidated by Michael Moore or Bill Clinton showing up out there to campaign for Gray Davis. Don't be intimidated, you Republican snots. You just keep going. Just go. Take it to the Supreme Court. I want to see that happen. I feel like the Brer Rabbit. No, so don't throw me in that briar patch. No, you know, I can't stand it in the briar patch. Don't you love this? Dave is calling from Fort Valley, Georgia. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Excellent. I wanted the Hightower book, and you had come up with things, and I had to come up with reasons why I think the Bush administration, or one good thing the Bush administration had done.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could, you know, as a Democrat, of course,
right,
kind of tough to do, but it did teach me not to ever take the media for granted, because this right-wing media has absolutely brainwashed some of the morons in this country. It's just absolutely amazing how effective they've been.
Yeah.
And how they embrace all these, you know, their terms, how they bracket descriptions of various things.
Yeah.
In fact, earlier in your program, I think you even brought up some of the things.
Hey, hold on a second. Dave, let me put you on hold to come back to you. We got to take a quick break here, and we shall return. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Palm Beach singing wow, wow, wow. Did I have to make my ballad a butterfly? I mean, I eat dinner by 4 and yoga by 10. And there ain't no way that I voted for Buchanan. In case they get tangled in a Revo web, no need to sweat, W. You can count on Brother Jeff. Uh-oh, and we better get Mako to fix this. Now leave it up to Thomas, Scalia, and Rehnquist. Got a blank ballot, absentee, you're overseas. Seminole will fill it in long as you're down with the GOP. And the WB.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Mm. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Ma,
fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Dave, who is listening on the Sirius Satellite Radio Network from Fort Valley, Georgia. Dave, where were we?
Oh, okay. I was trying to give you some good reasons or something that would qualify me to win the Hightower.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll tell you what you can do, though. We're going to be giving away all this week. Listen for the trivia question and call in. But, see, you're not a right-winger, and it's kind of, you know, you're kind of coming in the screen door there. We were looking for a right-winger who could tell us anything that Bush did to advance this country, anything positive, which of course, he's done nothing. But I get your point, though.
All right. Well, I missed the opportunity.
But maybe, listen, we're going to be giving away Hightower books all this week, so just call back in. You can't call back in tonight, but you can call back in later on this week, all right?
Great. Keep up the good work.
Hey, though. By the way, I went to a rock festival in your neighborhood, Fort Valley, Georgia, back in 1970, the second Atlanta Pop Festival.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. Oh, it was the first time I ever did acid. And I remember sitting in a soybean field down there, and Hendrix was playing, and everybody was eating watermelon. They were passing watermelons around the crowd, and there were like 600,000 of us. So I'm sitting out there in the soybean field with maybe 400,000 people. The other 200,000 were just severely stoned and screwed up. And somebody sitting to my right handed me watermelon. Here, brother, have a bite of watermelon. So I took some watermelon. Well, I didn't know that somebody had doused the watermelon with, real good blotter acid without the blotter.
Yeah.
So as this chunk of watermelon works its way through the crowd, everybody's biting into it because the temperature is like 110 degrees. You know how it is in middle Georgia summer. And about, 15, 18 minutes later, about 80 of us all got off at the same time. It was not pleasant to see. Thanks for checking in, Dave.
Hey, take it easy.
All right, you have a nice evening. What? What? Look, I'm part of that general. My producer's looking at me and just rolling her eyes. Oh, come on, Kathy. I can't hear you. I'll never run for office. Oh, you got that right. Not because, I did as many drugs and not a bit more than anybody else in my generation. There was an article in the New York Times today about Carlos Castaneda, who died in 1998. Any of you who know the Castaneda books, yada, yada. But there are a couple of academics who are suing each other over some of the stuff that Castaneda wrote. But along with a picture in the New York Times of Carlos Castaneda, there was also a picture of peyote buttons. Oh, my God. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My
fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed Friday, killing six U.S. soldiers in what has become the deadliest week for Americans in Iraq since combat was declared over in May. Two Americans were also killed in separate attacks Thursday and Friday in the northern city of Mosul, raising concerns that the insurgency was spreading north, and a total of 32 U.S. soldiers have died in the first week of November. It was not immediately clear whether the chopper was brought down by hostile fire or a mechanical failure, but several officers who asked not to be identified said it was probably hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. The White House has offered to provide a federal commission with limited access to intelligence reports about the September 11th terror attacks, but some members of the panel say the offer is inadequate and are renewing the threat of a subpoena. They say the issue of the subpoena would be discussed and possibly decided today at a meeting of the panel. Panel members are trying to obtain copies of the daily Oval Office intelligence report that President Bush received in the weeks before September 11th. The report is known as the President's Daily Brief and is distributed to Mr. Bush and a handful of his top aides every morning. The FBI will be able to more easily check a person's background for potential terrorist activities under national security guidelines issued Wednesday. The guidelines enable the FBI to conduct a threat assessment without initial evidence of a crime or national security threat as required to begin a more formal investigation. Civil libertarians said the rules could invite abuses against innocent people. The Bush White House, irritated by pesky questions from congressional Democrats about how the administration is using taxpayer money, has developed an efficient solution. It will not entertain any more questions from opposition lawmakers. House committee Democrats had just asked for information about how much the White House spent making and installing the Mission Accomplished banner for President Bush's May 1st speech aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln. It would also do another thing, prevent Democrats from getting questions answered without the blessing of the GOP committee chairman. More after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Five Austin, Texas police officers assigned to protect a power plant from possible terrorism went fishing at a nearby lake instead, according to disciplinary records. A lieutenant, a sergeant, and three other officers were disciplined for fishing while on duty, and another sergeant was disciplined for not reporting the others. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey,
Think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Stand by for this breaking news. Rich people can be criminals, too. It might not seem very newsy that the well-heeled elites of corporatedom can have criminal natures even darker than your common mugger, especially in these days of corporate infamy on parade, when the barons of Enron, Tyco, WorldCom, HealthSouth, Arthur Andersen, Implone, and so many, many more are in the dock, and when even our nation's president and vice president have been caught in corporate hanky-panky. After all, who does more harm, the guy who holds up a 7-Eleven? Or Kenneth Lay, the ex-CEO of Enron, who sat in his penthouse coolly counting the $100 million he personally took from Enron in its last year as the company crashed, costing thousands of workers their jobs and thousands of small shareholders their retirement nest eggs. Yet, it wasn't until 1939 that the term white-collar crime was coined. And even then, the powers that be shrank from calling the finaglers, defrauders, and other thieves up in the executive suites criminals. Misguided, yes. Even illegal, but criminal? Well, that's activity that only the lower classes engage in. Even today, the thieves in high places receive far less punishment than those in low places. CEOs have hefty bank accounts, influential friends, high-dollar lawyers, and PR consultants to get them off, or at least escape any serious jail time. There's even a sociologist who rationalizes their criminal behavior by maintaining that because executive elites are ambitious and competitive, they build up tension that must be relieved, sometimes by stealing. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Aw, poor snookums. They're not criminals, you see. They're merely tents." Imagine Joe Schmo, the bank robber, saying to the judge, "I'm not a criminal, I'm just ambitious, and I've built up a lot of tension recently." How quickly would he be tossed in the slammer?
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. And welcome again to AM 1480 WSDS in Salem, Detroit, Michigan. Not very far from Ypsilanti, not very far from Ann Arbor. But apparently we have no listeners up there because we've been on that station for two nights now. Nobody's called in, so... That's usually what happens. You know, people listen to radio stations around the country, and all of a sudden the station starts carrying this program. And people tune in and they go, "Oh my God, it must be the end of the world." What, Kathy? Give the phone number. Okay, 800-TALK-YES. If you're living in the listening area of WSDS, AM 1480 in the Detroit area, give us a call. I'd like to hear from you. Two emails from Alabama regarding our story in Alabama. From Susan in Moody, Alabama. "I'm not sure where you're coming from, Mike. We in Alabama were all willing to vote for this tax increase, except we were not told where the money was going. And we were sure the Republicans and not the people would benefit. Governor Riley will now have to go back to the table and get it right this time." Okay. I can See, I don't know how the tax increase was sold over there, Susan. All I know is what I read in the papers. And the papers had it with Riley prevailing upon the good Christians of Alabama to vote for this tax increase because it was a Christian thing to do. Maybe that's not the way you approach people where it concerns taxes. However, Ted in Montana writes in, Dear Mike, about those sanctimonious hypocrite right-wingers voting no to a tax increase in Alabama. Now, that's not you, Susan. He's not referring to you. Don't they know the Lord said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's? Isn't it amazing, Ted writes, how American Christians pick and choose what they want from the Bible and ignore a good portion, such as the part that says hypocrite Christians will receive the worst punishment of all. Now, Susan, he's not writing about you, Ted in Alabama. Because Ted in Montana knows that Susan in Moody, Alabama is a damn fine person. She's one of our favorite listeners, all right? So, Krista in Ohio. I thought I read in one of the major papers that Governor Riley's career was sponsored by Newt Gingrich. And this is why folks who would have benefited from the tax increase didn't turn out. They didn't trust him. Do you know anything about this, Krista writes, or about the percentage of eligible voters who went to the polls? Krista in Ohio. No, I don't know how many people went. But Susan probably has it right. Not living in Alabama. We have enough problems here in Georgia, trust me. But Susan and Moody probably has it right, that it wasn't explained correctly. I mean, it is kind of weird when you have a Republican governor say, vote for the tax increase because Jesus wants you to do it. Whoo, that's out there. But the result is pretty much the same. Susan and Ted and Krista and everybody else, the result is pretty much the same. The people of Alabama now are going to suffer. There's no way to get around it. Maybe the suffering would be temporary. But the Alabama story is important and pertinent to all the rest of us in the United States because it's an indication of what this Bush crime family has done and what it continues to do and how bad things are going to be. All right?
Oh, okay.
And don't you all go off thinking I'm a smart ass picking on Alabama because I'm not. I like Alabama. I think that a lot of good things come out of Alabama, like I-20. Never mind. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. I am now going to give you the trivia question. The first two callers with the correct answer will win a signed copy of Jim Hightower's newest book, Thieves in High Places. All right? And I notice that we have all the lines are full. So, Kathy, we'll just go down the line, the phones here, and see if you have an answer. People listening on can hear us on hold, right? Okay. Here is your question. Who said the following? I would not say that the future is necessarily less predictable than the past. I think the past was not predictable when it started. Wait a minute. Let me do it again. Who said this? It's multiple choice. You have three names to choose from here. Was it Donald Rumsfeld, George W. Bush, or Pappy Bush? Rumsfeld, too stupid to be president, or Pappy Bush? Who said this? I would not say that the future is necessarily less predictable than the past. I think the past was not predictable when it started. Oh, jeez. If it weren't so critical, if the country weren't going belly up, if people weren't dying in Iraq and Afghanistan, our people and other people, this regime would be funny as hell, wouldn't it? If 3,000 people hadn't been butchered on U.S. soil on September 11, 2001, this regime would be funny, wouldn't it? If bankruptcies, personal bankruptcies, hadn't reached an all-time high in this country in the last 3 years, this gang would be funny, wouldn't they? Who said, I would not say that the future is necessarily less predictable than the past? I think the past was not predictable when it started. My God. All right. Just a couple more things here. Oh, okay. I've got to do this. All right, let me hold off from doing this because I asked for somebody to call in from Ypsilanti area, and here's Barry. Barry's calling from Ypsilanti. Is that where you're calling from, Barry?
Yeah, I'm actually heading into Ypsilanti right now, Mike.
And you're listening on WSDS.
I sure am.
God, what's it like to listen to this program on a radio? That must
it's
be
amazing.
A lot of fun. Yeah, it must be a lot of fun. Well, welcome.
I can drive in my car and I can listen, and you know what? It's so good that I just I knew exactly who you were talking about when you said that quote. That's
don't say it, but don't say it. Don't say it, because we still have people on the line.
Or okay.
Barry's not one of the winners, is he? Oh, Barry is one of the winners. Oh, okay. Do we have our two winners? Oh, we have our two. My producer is just shaking her head so hard it's going to fall off her shoulders. Okay, who said it, Barry?
Well, as soon as you said it, Mike, I said, you know, that sounds exactly like Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, you're absolutely right. I would not say that the future is necessarily less predictable than the past. I think the past was not predictable when it started. When the hell did the past start? I just love this crew. I mean, these people are just, this is like a comedy act, except people are dying.
Of course.
You know, that's the problem with this comedy act.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to have some Rumsfeld quotes here coming up from his Department of Defense briefing today, where he said today the same thing Cheney said over the weekend on Meet the Press. I don't know.
They don't know much, do they? I don't feel like we're getting our money's worth out of this administration.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I wanted to call and say, hey, I'm listening to STS, but also I got an email from a rabid Republican today, if you have just a second.
Sure.
He was talking about how the Democrats taxed Social Security, Johnson taxed Social Security, and they continued it, and you know, we're paying all these taxes on Social Security. I said, well, you know, it's really not going to be a. This was my reply to the email because it was really anti-democratic. I said, well, you know, I wouldn't agree with taxing Social Security, but you know, why couldn't Bush, Reagan, or Bush II choose to reverse that just like they reversed the dividend tax? You know, I mean, I think if we reversed the dividend tax and left the taxes on the wealthiest 10% of the country where they were, we probably wouldn't be looking at bankrupting Social Security in the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, I got to ask, what kind of an answer did you get?
I didn't get one yet. I'm waiting to get home, and I'm looking forward to my computer exploding or something like that.
Well, be careful when you enter into dialogue with these people, because it can be very frustrating, since they have no anchor in reality and they have no respect for the truth. So be careful.
Well, he's in California, so I'm not really worried about a physical attack. But
I didn't mean that. I just mean they will corrupt your mind. That you will start to think you are talking to an android or a machine or somebody from a parallel universe, because nothing a Republican or a right winger says ever, under any circumstances, ever makes sense. They used to make sense. I'm not saying Republicans have always been brain dead and their minds polluted, but it's been about the past 20 years, going back to. The middle of the Reagan years, and then the advent of Rush Limbaugh. Republicans, right wingers, conservatives—they're all very, very sick and very, very ill. And hopefully, they will rapture on out of here at some point and leave the world to the rest of us.
That'd be great. Then we can have all their big houses and cars.
Barry, let me put you on hold because Kathy has to get your mailing address so we can send you a copy, this autographed copy of Hightower's book. Okay.
Great, Mike. Have a good night, and welcome to SGS and Ypsilanti.
Thank you very much. Listen, by the way, would you like to be the Ypsilanti bureau chief?
I am.
Oh, you already are?
I am. Yep, you gave it to me before.
Oh, I did. Oh,
yeah.
That's right, when you used to listen on the Internet.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go. Well, my mistake. Thanks, Barry.
You bet, Mike. Have a great night.
Hold on. Don't hang up. Hold on. All right. We have the other winner, too. Who's the other winner, Kathy? Jim? Oh, here's our other winner, Jim in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Jim, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome aboard, and congratulations on getting the book.
You know, I'm wondering about this Rumsfeldism. Do you think that stuff that he says is premeditated, or does it just kind of spontaneously come out automatically?
I have a feeling that nothing Rumsfeld says is rehearsed. That's just the way his brain works.
It just happens, huh?
Yeah, he's not a normal human being. He has no respect for human life.
This isn't the only time he's ever said something like that. He says some things that are... You really don't know how to take it?
I know. They don't really compute. I've listened to many Rumsfeld press conferences where I'm sitting there watching. I know he's speaking English, and I cannot understand. It's like he's speaking, Cones, you know,
exactly.
K-O-A-N-S, like he's talking in, I don't know, just some kind of weird parallel language to English.
And well, this Cheney and Rumsfeld thing about not knowing,
yeah.
Or they said, we don't have all the information on that, or I can't say anything about, you know, they're just doing the old maintaining deniability thing.
Well, they are. The problem with it, of course, as I'm sure you know, is that thousands, if not tens of thousands of Iraqis died, hundreds of Americans have died, God knows, in the thousands. Thousands now Americans have been wounded, and that's not counting the Brits and the Australians who have died and been wounded in this attack on Iraq, all based on lies. And now, whereas in the run-up to this attack on Iraq, all of these guys were saying, well, they have weapons of mass destruction, well, they have bombs, well, they have this. Well, now it's, I don't know. And is that impeachable? I guess not.
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know.
Eventually.
I have a suggestion here about Bush's destruction of America.
Can I get you to hold?
Okay.
All right, we'll come back and get that suggestion. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some Chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For a liberal helping of the truth, here's Mike.
24 past the hour. We are talking with Jim in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Now, you have a suggestion.
Yeah, well, one thing good these goons are doing for America is that they will motivate many couch potatoes up off their butts to get up and vote from now on. I really think that the shock value of what we've seen these people do to our country in the last 3 years has got to get some people's attention.
You know, I hope you're right, Jim, but, you know, there's an old saying, I'm sure you've heard it, there are none so blind as those who will not see.
Well,
and and this irritates a lot of people, but I don't have a whole lot of respect for the political acuity of the American public. You know, aside from the fact that the Supreme Court gave the election to George W. Bush, still 49% of the U.S. population voted for this moron. 49% of the people in this country said, you know, 8 years of peace and prosperity, we just don't want any more of it. We want incompetence, war, death, destruction, a tanking economy, bankruptcies, illness, sickness, polluted air. So I don't have a whole lot of respect, I swear to God I don't, for my countrymen, my fellow voters. Now, I'm not referring to anyone who listens to this program, because the only people who would listen to this program are people who give a damn. I hope you're right. I hope people are motivated to throw this gang, this mafia bunch, of course that's an insult to the mafia, but this bunch of killers and incompetence out on their asses come November 2004. I hope it happens.
Well, we so much appreciate what you're doing out there to help us get through the from one day to the next. You don't know how much you're appreciated by probably a lot of people.
Well, I get an awful lot of appreciation hearing from you guys, too, so it works both ways, okay?
Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
All right, don't be a stranger. Call us again. My senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, sent me, as he does every morning when he sends me a bunch of stuff to consider for the program, a message from Michael Moore. And it's three easy pieces for any decent American. And I'm only going to, when we come back after the next break, I want to share with you, I'll just give you a quick tease here. George and Laura Bush, Pickles, they had an interview. They gave an interview to Peggy Noonan, this right-wing harridan. And the interview was published in the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal, the October 2003 issue of Ladies' Home Journal. And Peggy Noonan, this right-wing harridan, asked Frickin' Frack, George and Pickles, about what September 11th, 2001 was like for them personally. Okay? And even though over 3,000 people had just been murdered, George W. and Pickles were able to find some humor by the end of the day. Now, this is really sick stuff. I don't know. If you've got children, you might want to get them away from the radio or the computer when we come back after the next break, because I'm just going to quote it verbatim out of the Ladies' Home Journal interview. Okay? It's conducted by Peggy Noonan, right-wing harridan. She was the interviewer. With Pickles and George. What happened? How September 11th, what it was like for them personally. You're not going to believe this. It's grim and grotesque. I think it's grim and grotesque. You know, how the hell with it. Keep your kids near the radio. Gather them around the computer terminal where you're listening. And let's just get the whole family in on this, okay? All right, quick break here. We will come back and do this. Then we're going to have Rumsfeld sound bites from today and your phone calls. So stick around. We have a lot of fun and frivolity planned for you. I'm Mike Malloy.
Why are we all fighting? Oh, why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. We're getting where we've come from.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A fisheries expert argues for more scientific study of life at sea. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The field of conservation biology has pushed science beyond the study of living organisms to the study of ways to protect them. One scientist who works in this field says it's a pretty dry subject. In fact, he says it's too dry, and a lot more work needs to be done on conservation science at sea. Phil Levin is a fisheries biologist in Seattle for the National Marine Fisheries Service. He and a colleague examined 7 journals that focus on conservation biology to see how often they carried articles about conservation science in the marine world. They looked at more than 5,000 articles that were published since 1996, and fewer than 10% covered wet subjects. Levin says that's not completely surprising. For one thing, the people who started the field of conservation biology were experts who studied plants and animals that live on land, not in the water.
It wasn't surprising in some sense that the early work was biased towards terrestrial issues. We found it somewhat alarming given the state of some marine habitats that that bias is still there.
Levin says the oceans are being strained by pollution, overfishing, and changes in the Earth's climate. He says we need more research to study these problems and to find ways to resolve them. Levin says his study of the scientific literature ended last June. That means it does not represent research that's now underway or due to start up in the near future.
And there seems to be a lot of interest and work going on marine conservation, so I'm actually very optimistic that things are going to change for the better.
Levin's study was published last August in the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 27 before the hour. We want to say hello to somebody. Did anybody mind? To Mary in Cocoa, Florida. From Drew in Houston. Drew writes in and says, regarding the second Atlanta Pop Festival, Drew writes in, I was there with you if it was in July of 1970, south of Macon. I remember the Allman Brothers had just moved there from Florida, and it was one of Hendrix's last shows. And I've often wondered why that watermelon cost $1 a slice. Thanks for clearing that up. Also, would you please say hello to my 77-year-old mother, Mary, in Cocoa, Florida? I have to send off a supply of your shows on CD because she's not hooked up to the Internet. Drew in Houston. Well, Drew, by God, that remember, if you remember, Drew, it was hotter than 30 hells down there. It was just awful. All right. Now, here's the setup. The thing our senior producer, our senior correspondent sent in, Mike's message, Michael Moore. It's an interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. And as Michael Moore writes, although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. Now, Kathy is going to be the voice of Peggy Noonan, the interviewer, and Laura Bush, and I will play George. All right?
You were separated on September 11th. What was it like when you saw each other again? Well, we just hugged. I think there was a certain amount of security in being with each other, other than being apart.
But the day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, you'll be sleeping downstairs. Washington's still a dangerous place. And I said, no, I can't sleep down there. The bed didn't look comfortable. And, you know, I was really tired, and Laura was tired. And, well, we like our own bed. We like our own routine. You know, kind of a nester. I knew I had to deal with the issue the next day and provide strength and comfort to the country. And so I needed rest in order to be mentally prepared. So I told the agent, we're going upstairs. And he reluctantly said okay. And you see, Laura wears contacts, and she was sound asleep. Barney was there, and the agent comes running up and says, "Run your tack. We need you downstairs." And so there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted. Got the dog in one hand. Laura had the cat. I'm holding Laura. And
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
And the guy's out of breath, you know, the agent, and we're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane, which is going toward here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked. So the day starts in tragedy and ends in the Marx Brothers.
That's right. We got a laugh out of it. Yeah.
Now that's the way it appears in Ladies' Home Journal. Even though this country had just suffered the worst attack ever on our own soil, somehow this man was able to end his day on a funny note. And as Michael Moore writes, I wonder how many of the 3,000 families who lost someone earlier that day had a funny ending before they went to sleep. Please, Michael Moore writes, read this, the above exchange aloud to anyone who will listen. It speaks volumes. Yeah, it will. I will post this at my website, MikeMalloy.com, when the program's over tonight. Download it. Take it to your local community theater. Download it, print it off, take it to your local community theater, and get some local actors to stage it. It's just, I don't think I have ever in my life Not in my consciousness. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm sure we've had crazed, toxically narcissistic presidents before, but none like this that I'm aware of. Not one who considered himself anointed by Jesus H. Christ and his daddy God to run the country and take us up to Armageddon and into the rapture. I don't think we have ever had a freak like this in charge of this country. And the world better watch its ass, too, because, this freak also has his finger on 10,000 nuclear warheads. And he will use them. Because that's righteous fire. Amen. It is righteous fire. Hallelujah. It is bringing the Messiah back. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, geez, don't get me started. These people are sick. They are crazy. They're psychopathic.
And it's our president and his funny, funny wife have pickles. All right, we are going to do Rumsfeld now. If you remember yesterday when we played the sound for you from Media Whore number one, Tim Russert, interviewing Dick Cheney, Cheney knew nothing. He knew nothing on Meet the Press. Today, Rummy plays the role of Colonel Klink. So let us begin. A reporter says,
Mr. Secretary, have you received the interim report from David Kay on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? And have you any indication whether weapons of mass destruction have been found?
Now, let me back up just a second. David Kay is the one appointed by too stupid to be president, George Bush, to lead this team of 1,400 inspectors who have been searching diligently for 40 days and 40 nights now and have found nothing. So the question to Colonel Klink, have you any indication, Mr. Secretary, whether weapons of mass destruction have been found?
I don't know about an interim report or whether there is one or whether it's coming forward, but there may very well be. I just haven't seen it. My instinct is to let that team of hundreds of people who are well organized and working hard on this problem proceed in a manner that's appropriate to them, and they are interrogating a large number of people, and they are from time to time investigating various suspect sites. How they will pull that together into a report at some point is something I think I'll leave to them.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you will leave it to them. I don't know about an interim report. I don't know whether there is one. Now, the guy who came up with the known unknowns, remember that? The known unknowns little speech when he deliberately tried to drive about 60% of the population of this country insane in one press conference? You remember that. Anyway, here's the next reporter's question from Mr. Known Unknowns.
Mr. Secretary, it now seems that you may not get the United Nations mandated multinational force of an additional 10 or 15,000 forces. There may be a veto in the Security Council. So if you don't get the multinational force to assist our forces in Iraq, what will you do? Will you send in more U.S. troops?
So what you've got is a number of people going around saying, why does the United States go it alone? Now, and people in the press repeating that we're going it alone, when in fact we're not going it alone. In fact, there is a large international coalition that currently is participating in Iraq.
Get crazy!
Whether or not there'll be a resolution and whether or not even if there were a resolution, we would get that number of troops is an open question.
We just don't know.
We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know nothing. I know nothing. I don't know.
Reporter now says, now remember, this is a guy who said something about the moon attacking us. If you're a regular listener to this program, you've heard these sound bites about the moon attacking us and known unknowns and all that insane. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily, right before he goes out for a press conference. Oh, hi, I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Oh, there's CNN. Oh, gee, look at the big eye on that camera. Oh, God, get it away from me. And the teeth. So this reporter says,
Mr. Secretary, back to the issue of weapons of mass destruction, please, sir. There was some testimony this morning from John Bolton on Capitol Hill from the State Department that suggested Iraq may have moved some of its chemical or biological weapons into Syria, perhaps to other places, like maybe Disney World. What's your view on that?
I don't know. It seen snippets of information over time that we know they buried MiG airplanes. We know they buried a lot of things. And we know in the prior war they flew their planes into Iran, for example. I do not have hard evidence that I could say that they have done that.
I know nothing. We've seen snippets of information. I don't know. And he laughs. Dr. Strangelove stands there and laughs. You think I'm kidding about this guy does acid? And he does the bad stuff, the brown acid. Now, what does Rummy have to say on Iraqi prisoners? The reporter says,
Mr. Secretary, yes, sir, the general in charge of prisons in Iraq said today that some 4,400 prisoners have been classified as security detainees. I was wondering if you could explain, what that is, a security detainee, what their rights are, and really what the status is of the people who've been picked up in various raids in their own country since the end of major combat operations, sir?
I'm not quite familiar with that phrase that you quoted, apparently, out of the newspaper article, which I should have read.
Yeah.
If you think about it this way, our forces go out every day.
Yeah.
There are incidents.
Yeah.
They pick up some people for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
It may be because they've stolen a car. It may be because they've shot at somebody. Someone just waved the article at me as I was coming down here.
Yeah, so you don't know anything about it. Somebody just waved the article. Yeah, there are incidents. You know, our forces go out every day. There are incidents, you know, like death and arms and legs being blown off. And that's our guys, you know, and children, Iraqi children being turned into hamburger meat and mommies and daddies being gut shot with large caliber weapons. You know, it's war. War is hell. I'm not familiar with the phrase that you quoted, though, this stuff about security detainees. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm the Secretary of Defense. What the hell are you asking me for? You know, go ask, I don't know, go ask Cheney, you know?
Mr. Secretary, once there are significant revenues coming in from Iraq's oil, will any of that money be used to reimburse U.S. taxpayers who are, spending the billions of dollars that are currently being spent to maintain troops and rebuild the country? So any chance of some of that money coming back to taxpayers?
I don't know if it's going to end up being a supplemental or a budget amendment myself.
Yeah.
But I know that those negotiations are currently taking place.
Woo.
And all of those kinds of questions are the kinds of questions that will get aired by the Managed Cost Management and Budget in the process of discussing with Congress these things. I was out of the country when the bulk of that negotiation was going on, and Paul Wolfowitz was dealing with it.
Oh, God, I hate this guy! Oh! Oh! Oh, he makes my stomach bleed just listening to him. Oh, God, look, I'm sitting in a pool of blood here. Oh! Oh, God! Where did this guy come from? What pit of hell coughed this thug up? And here he is, the king of known unknowns. I don't know. I don't know. I was out of the country. I'm not familiar with that phrase. I don't know. We've seen snippets of information. We know they buried MiG airplanes, but I don't know. I don't have any hard evidence. Whether or not there'll be a resolution, I don't know. I don't know about an interim report, whether there is one. I don't know. I have no idea. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Doesn't it make you miss Cohen? What was Cohen's first name? Clinton's Republican Secretary of Defense, William Cohen. Huh? Remember when William Cohen, old jut-jawed, kind of steely-eyed William Cohen, would sit down with with somebody on CNN or someplace, and they would, you know, a Republican, you know, Bill Clinton put a Republican in his Secretary of Defense. Ah, jeez. But at least Cohen, you know, William Cohen would sit there. You know, Cohen, that means teacher, doesn't it? Is that what it means, or does it mean priest? I think it means teacher. So there's Cohen sitting there explaining to the press, well, you know, we hit the pharmaceutical company in the Sudan. Was it the Sudan? I guess it was the Sudan. I don't know. Because they, you know, they're producing weapons of mass destruction. I know the right-wingers are going to say, I used to be a right-winger, they're going to say it was an aspirin factory. But, you know, Cohen would sit there and explain it to the best of his ability. Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out. And well, people are waving things at me coming down the hall, and I don't know, there's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff. Get away from me, I was out of the country. Jesus, I was in Lebanon. I don't know. Where was I? Idaho. Somewhere. Oh. Give me some nuclear weapons. This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. This is a person who has lives of tens of thousands, nay, hundred, no, millions of people. And he sees fire hoses rise off the wall like snakes.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that phrase. Security detainees? Well, it could be somebody who spit on the sidewalk in downtown Baghdad. I don't know. Don't ask me this stuff. Ask me nothing and get these spiders off of me.
Ah! Oh, man. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy. Crazy. Just staggering, fall down, talking fire hose nuts. Let's take a break while Mikey has a drink or something to calm down.
Oh, they're watching every move we make.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds.
That comic book show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up? Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Get encapsulated in a bubble.
Five before the hour. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. God, that's scary music, you know? It's old music, but it's real scary. Couple of quick emails back to your phone. This is from Joe regarding that little bit we just did with Pickles and George from Ladies Home Journal. Joe writes, Mike, remember on the evening of 9-1-1 when the Bush anecdote, which the Bush anecdote relates to, it was thought the number of deaths was much higher than 3,000. Some estimates were as high as 20,000. That should be related along with the story of Bush and Pickles yucking it up at the White House. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin in California, Lake Tahoe. Hi, Mike. This is regarding Alabama. I'm going to go broke. And what are the teachers going to do there? What are the kids going to do? The students, among other things. Kevin in Lake Tahoe. Hey, Mike, my wife has spent $200 of our money on her classroom so far this year. I don't care about the money, but there's a finite number of people in California who can continue to do this. Yeah, that's why I said it's not just Alabama. It's not just California. It's the entire country. And from Shelley, listening in Massachusetts, hello, Mike. I have a new bumper sticker on my car. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. This is not exactly true, of course, because, as you know, Bush was born and raised in Connecticut. The whole down-to-earth Texas cowboy routine is just another deception. Great show as always, but breathe, Mike. Breathe, or you're going to have a cardiac infarct. Not me! Shelley in Massachusetts. No, I'm really, it's, I promised my wife I wouldn't do that. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
Great.
You know, you were talking earlier about how these Republicans are just in denial, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, because, you know, we typically deal with things that are a lot more serious than this.
Right.
But the pig man has a new job.
He does? What's the pig man? Oh, ESPN?
That's right.
Yeah, he's going to do color commentary for football?
Oh, yes. Now, see, here's the thing. I am a major NFL junkie.
Can you hold it right there?
Sure.
I'm a major NFL junkie. Don't forget that sentence. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back to you. I've got to take a break here. And your phone call, if you're on hold, when we come back. What's this? Our Washington, D.C. bureau chief, Tony, another Tony, has called in? Oh, okay. Must have heard me last night when I said, where are all our bureau chiefs? All right. Another hour to go. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed Friday, killing 6 U.S. soldiers in what has become the deadliest week for Americans in Iraq since combat was declared over in May. 2 Americans were also killed in separate attacks Thursday and Friday in the northern city of Mosul, raising concerns that the insurgency was spreading north, and a total of 32 U.S. soldiers have died in the first week of November. It was not immediately clear whether the chopper was brought down by hostile fire or a mechanical failure, but several officers who asked not to be identified said it was probably hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. Secretary of State Colin Powell and Turkey's foreign minister have agreed that Turkey will not send peacekeeping troops to Iraq, officials said Friday, after plans for a deployment raised sharp oppositions from Iraqis. The decision reverses what had been a significant victory for Washington, which has pressed hard for Turkey to join peacekeeping efforts in its neighbor to the southeast to help U.S. troops there. Turkey is the only majority Muslim nation in NATO. Powell and Foreign Minister Abdullah Gül spoke Thursday night by telephone and agreed that the offer of Turkish troops would be withdrawn. The Bush White House, irritated by pesky questions from congressional Democrats about how the administration is using taxpayer money, has developed an efficient solution. It will not entertain any more questions from opposition lawmakers. House Committee Democrats had just asked for information about how much the White House spent making and installing the Mission Accomplished banner for President Bush's May 1st speech aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln. It would also do another thing, prevent Democrats from getting questions answered without the blessing of the GOP committee chairman. The FBI will be able to more easily check a person's background for potential terrorist activities under national security guidelines issued Wednesday. The guidelines enable the FBI to conduct a threat assessment without initial evidence of a crime or national security threat as required to begin a more formal investigation. Civil libertarians said the rules could invite abuses against innocent people. More after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Police chase took on a new meaning when a Virginia motorist, angry about getting a speeding ticket, went after the officer who issued the citation, slamming her car into his cruiser several times, adding a felonious assault charge to her speeding violation. She took a traffic summons and turned it into a felony charge, said a police spokesman. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Drive carefully.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Stand by for this breaking news. Rich people can be criminals, too. It might not seem very newsy that the well-heeled elites of corporatedom can have criminal natures even darker than your common mugger, especially in these days of corporate infamy on parade, when the barons of Enron, Tyco, WorldCom, HealthSouth, Arthur Anderson, Implone, and so many, many more are in the dock. And when even our nation's president and vice president have been caught in corporate hanky-panky. After all, who does more harm, the guy who holds up a 7-Eleven, or Kenneth Lay, the ex-CEO of Enron, who sat in his penthouse coolly counting the $100 million he personally took from Enron in its last year as the company crashed, costing thousands of workers their jobs and thousands of small shareholders their retirement nest eggs? Yet, it wasn't until 1939 that the term white-collar crime was coined. And even then, the powers that be shrank from calling the finaglers, defrauders, and other thieves up in the executive suites criminals. Misguided, yes. Even illegal, but criminal? Well, that's activity that only the lower classes engage in. Even today, the thieves in high places receive far less punishment than those in low places. CEOs have hefty bank accounts, influential friends, high-dollar lawyers, and PR consultants to get them off or at least escape any serious jail time. There's even a sociologist who rationalizes their criminal behavior by maintaining that because executive elites are ambitious and competitive, they build up tension that must be relieved, sometimes by stealing. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Aw, poor snookums. They're not criminals, you see. They're merely tents." Imagine Joe Schmo, the bank robber, saying to the judge, "I'm not a criminal, I'm just ambitious, and I've built up a lot of tension recently." How quickly would he be tossed in the slammer?
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Okay, welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800 Talk, yes, is where we are. And we're talking to Tony in Waukegan, Illinois. And where did we leave the sentence hanging in the air?
Yeah, I'm a big football junkie.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to have my football. And, you know, now that I can't watch it the way I really want to.
You sure you can?
No, I really can't.
You can't?
No, it's really just, you know, it's the continuing dumbing down of America.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm sitting on the phone with me and my friend Mark, okay? We're like opposites in every conceivable way.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And this guy is ultra-conservative to the max. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is his man.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there trying to convince me that, oh, it's absolutely silly that I shouldn't watch Rush because Rush knows more football than, you know, another guy he brings up. The guy he brings up that he knows more football about?
Yeah.
Michael Irvin. You know, former Dallas Cowboy, 3-time Super Bowl winner. Somehow, Rush Limbaugh knows more about, you know, pro football than
Michael Irvin,
guy.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, are you out of your mind?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I realized the guy truly is brainwashed. I mean, obviously, he believes everything that comes out of the Bush administration. I swear to God, he sounds like a talking point.
Yeah. Have you listened? Is Limbaugh doing? He's on ESPN now.
He's doing the show every Sunday. And every time he comes on, everything's good until he shows up.
Right.
But when he shows up, that's when I turn the TV off.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Limbaugh's deal is. He wanted to be on NBC Monday Night. Is it NBC Monday Night Football?
ABC.
Or ABC, and they gave it to Dennis Miller, and then Miller couldn't cut it, and Miller became a right winger. But Limbaugh wanted that job so bad, and all I can think of is some of these guys are so I can't think of the right word, but they want to hang out with the jocks and soldiers and people who the military, but especially jocks and stars, important people, media important people. And not realizing, of course, that they are already that. I mean, that's what Limbaugh is. He is a media superstar in this country, but so many of them get some kind of a almost sexual rush out of hanging out with, for example, of sports stars or military people. And I've never been able to understand that. With Limbaugh, he was a sportscaster. He couldn't play sports because he had a pilotio cyst on his ass. That's what kept him out of the military.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Is that how you say it, Kathy? Pilotio or pilotio? It was just, I don't know, some kind of an open fissure in his anus. God, oh, God, that's awful. Why did I say that? Oh, it's time to go home. So I guess because furthermore, Rush is a coward, so of course he's going to want to hang out with men who are not cowards.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so I guess that explains it.
It's just disturbing. I mean, you know, this guy constantly, and you know what here's what he said. He said, you know, if it were Bill Clinton, I could stand to watch Bill Clinton call a game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
I'm like, yeah, well, that's because Bill Clinton is actually really intelligent.
Right,
you know,
right.
He actually would know something worth anything.
Oh, no, wait. Your friend said he couldn't watch Clinton call a game?
Oh, he said he could.
He could.
Now, keep in mind, this is the guy who was blaming Bill Clinton during the early Clinton years.
Right.
And, Bill Clinton's costing me money in the stock market every
day. Oh, my God.
Every stinking day.
Yeah, right.
I had to listen to that book.
Yeah, right. Was he saying that in the last quarter of 99 or the first quarter of 2000?
No. We stopped hearing about that about mid-90s.
Mid-90s, I think so.
Oh, of course, that was strictly because the Republican Congress was there, and they were controlling the purse strings.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and now?
Oh, my God.
Now? You know, he's telling me, you know, it's not so bad that we're running a deficit.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I wish I could make this up.
It's just incredible. You know, I used to have friends like that, Tony, but I had a choice. I could either kill them or find new friends. And I just decided I had a couple of good friends who were that kind of Republican. And I just, you know, I've got grandchildren. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in prison. It would have been a crime of passion. I would have got second-degree murder, life in prison, possibility parole after 20 years. And I just didn't want to do that. So instead of killing these people, I decided I'd just seek new friends. I hope you don't come down to that choice.
No, but you know, I just look at this guy. You know, he's having kids now, and he's right. You know, and he's a professor in a university. I'm a high school teacher, and you know, he's constantly telling me that the Bush administration's got on the right track, and I'm just sitting here wondering, where are you looking?
What
world are you living in?
And I hope he doesn't teach political science.
Oh God, he teaches physics.
Oh well, okay, well that's all right then. Hey, Tony, good to hear from you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, take care. You have a nice evening. Yeah, nothing wrong with right-wingers teaching physics. Unless they're fundamentalist Christians, and then the whole field of physics doesn't exist. It's just devil's work or something. I don't know. Hi. Andy is calling from Seattle. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Mike. You had me in stitches tonight. Hey, first off, I want to say hi to my friend Sheila, who's listening in tonight. She's coming to see me tomorrow on site.
Hey, listen, are you on the headset?
Yeah, let me take it off.
All right.
There you go. How's that?
That's much better. Yeah. You want to say hi to Sheila?
Yeah, my friend in Chicago. She's coming to see me tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I told her, I said,
stick around. I'm going to say hi to you on Malloy's program.
That's right. Anyway,
Rumsferatu.
Rumsferatu.
That's good.
Perfectly.
That's good.
I don't know if you ever go to Democratic Underground or not, but there was a thread there that I started several months ago, and it was a picture of Rummy next to this German field marshal, and I swear to God, they're cloned.
Kathy stays in very tight contact with DU while we're on the air. She may have seen that, but it's all I can do just to keep flipping my microphone switch on and off during the program. So, no, I didn't see that, but it's Rummy. Rummy does look, at least he looks like a Hollywood depiction of a German field marshal. But so does Wolf Blitzer.
Oh, yeah, warmed over death.
Yeah, warmed over... Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good.
I can't stand him. The whole bunch of them. I mean,
they're very creepy. I mean, this gang creeps me out. At least Reagan, as much of a freak as Reagan was, as much of a freak as Pappy Bush was, they didn't creep me out. George W. Bush, I guess it's the monumental ignorance that is behind that smirk.
Oh, yes, undoubtedly.
And then this cadre of ghouls and vampires and werewolves who operate behind Bush. Jesus, this is just nightmare people. These are people that, you know, when you wake up at 2:30 in the morning, you don't know where in the hell you are, and you hear footsteps coming up the stairs. It's these people.
It is totally.
Oh God, nightmare.
Yeah, they scare me to death. And now they're going to give them Congress today voted, didn't they, to give them the ability now to build usable nukes.
Yeah, usable nukes.
What is that about?
Well, that's about Armageddon. Eventually, we've got to start flinging nukes, and Jesus will look down and go, "Oh, they're flinging nukes. I guess I'll go down and rapture up all the Christians." Oh my God, and put all the Jews to death. You know,
you know, the thing that worries me is I'm not really a Christian, but I've read the Bible. You know, I was raised Lutheran, Catholic life, you know, all the saints,
right.
You know, none of the saints and all the guilt. But, you know, it's like they're following the plan right down to the letter, but these people don't see that it's George Bush that's in my mind, if there was an Antichrist, it's Bush.
Oh, sure. Of course it's Bush. Either that or he's the angel of death. He's just, I mean, it's vile. It's frightening. It's nightmare time. Listen, I hope you have a great week with Sheila.
Thanks. Have a good rest of the night, and thanks for your show, man.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate you checking in, Tom. There he is. Did you hear me last night, Tony, our Washington, D.C. bureau chief, whining, saying, I haven't heard from Tony. Where's Daryl in Detroit? Where's Tony in D.C.? Couldn't even think of your name.
I you could let the blue-eyed old brother down south have all the fun.
Where you been, Tony? You know, you're supposed to check in at least once every 6 months. That's why we write those big checks for you.
I know, though, but I was just so overwhelmed when I got my bloody $400 that, you know, I just had to go out into town for 6 months to carry me a little while.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
I just want to ask you, is Malcolm X right or what when he says the chickens can come home to roost? Didn't he say that? Didn't he, what's that guy on channel, Fox News, O'Reilly, if I could say, it's our money?
Yeah.
Now we can say it's our money. We don't want to spend that money because it's our money.
Well, no, it's only, they only use the phrase it's our money when the Republicans are running for office and they want to destroy it. Look what happened over in Alabama.
Mm.
What I was talking about earlier tonight about the poor Republican governor, Riley, couldn't get a tax increase passed, and now the state is going to sink and disappear. It's going to smother under all those magnolia trees. It's over for Alabama. You know, they're just going to go, that's it. That's the end. So, yeah, they talk about it's our money when they're trying to get elected, Tony. You know that.
You know, when I mean, O'Reilly, you remember when he was talking about the taxes? That's what I was talking about. He says, our money, why can't we get the refund?
That's right.
Now we say it's our money. We don't want to spend money on a situation where somebody guessed that somebody was going to kill, have 45 minutes. I mean, can you understand? I mean, I'm trying to sleep, you know?
No.
Can you say you spent $79 billion.
In April.
And our girls, our young men, people in the reserve on, I thought that this man was going to give us 45 minutes of hell.
That's right.
I mean, can you try to conjure that up?
It's crazy. We are living in crazy world. This is the new Disneyland. It's called Crazyland.
And now you had the situation where people, he comes back and say, guess what? I need 87 minute bill. and all of it is on, when I was listening to the real Prime Minister of the United States say, we don't know how much we're going to get.
Right.
We don't know who that Saddam Hussein was. I mean, these are guesses now. These are not this is concrete information. We get the biggest intelligence this side of the Mason-Dixon line. We got people who know last time you slept with.
Tony, hang on a minute. I got to do a quick break here. Hold on a second. What's this? I see on line two, our Detroit bureau chief is checking in. Huh? All these absent without leave. Bureau chiefs are checking in. That's good. That's good.
Yes, sir, I'll get the door. Roll the carpet on the floor. For a man.
For a man.
For a man.
Such a man.
For a man.
With his hand up his...
Ditto. Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ask us the name of the king. It's Rush.
The greatest man.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line. Give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Ban ji la is like cool. Yeah,
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us and slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
To use the phone, I'm too afraid to put the light on. I'm so afraid I've lost control. I'm suffocating without a word. Crazy with sweat.
24 past the hour. Here on the Malloy program, we're talking with Tony, our Washington, D.C. bureau chief. Now, where were we?
Yeah, calm down now. But I'm just saying, can you imagine somebody saying that? We want to have a health care system, but we don't know how much it's going to cost. But can you just start out with $87 billion just to get the program going? You don't mind, do you?
Right.
You don't mind we have a deficit. Deficits are good now.
Yeah, these look, Tony, you know, you live in D.C., you live in the snake pit. These people are absolutely insane, and they're going to make the rest of us crazy, too, unless we all drink an awful lot of whiskey and smoke an awful lot of weed and just try to let this stuff pass us by. You understand what I'm saying? And vote. Don't forget to vote.
Absolutely. I'm going to let you go now, but what do you think about Wesley? Is Wesley Clark trying to backdoor his way into the vice presidency?
No. I think, well, that may be in the back of his mind, but I think Wesley Clark wants to be president. I've got, matter of fact, that was one of the topics we wanted to get to tonight, but I don't know. I think he's serious. He's going to make his formal announcement tomorrow, and I don't know. I don't know what to think about Wesley Clark. He has no political experience at all. A lot of people are saying, well, neither did Eisenhower. I don't know how the Democrats are going to react. We'll see. But I think he's serious. I think he wants the top job. Now, it's my understanding that Howard Dean already offered him the vice president's slot and last week, and Clark said, let me get back to you on that. So he's going to turn around and offer the vice president's slot to Dean. You watch.
I think he's going to legitimize himself as a wannabe politician, and I think he's going to go for the number two.
Well, we'll find out real soon. I think he's serious.
Okay, you take care.
Hey, listen, don't be a stranger.
All right, keep my eyes blue now.
All right, Tony.
Take care.
Take care of yourself. All right. Here's our other delinquent bureau chief, Daryl in Detroit. Man, I have to use the power of this radio program to spank you guys. I mean,
now you know how strong your signal is, right?
Yeah.
It got me even over the internet.
Well, Daryl, where have you been?
Oh, I've been listening to you.
You've been working.
I've been listening to you.
Too busy making money.
No. I've been listening to you.
All right,
I've been here. You know, you had some good callers, and I missed you big time when you were off taking your vacation.
All right. Well, I'm glad you finally called in. I'm starting to think I just pissed everybody off.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. No. I wouldn't leave without talking to you.
Right.
Yeah, because I had a major beef yesterday. I was almost about ready to have an aneurysm coming home.
What happened?
I'm listening. I don't know how I happen to do this. I never do this, but I hit 760 on the radio.
WJR.
We're just Republicans.
Yeah, we're just Republicans. And you heard Limbaugh.
And I heard Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard the news during the day about the Supreme, about the court decision to
out in California
delay,
right.
To delay it. You know,
right.
Okay. So
right.
I'm hearing the news reported by Rush Limbaugh. Now that's not. That's not a proper English sentence because
that's true. That's true. It's also not a healthy thing to get involved in either.
News and Limbaugh are just
no.
They just don't try to go together. But he managed to get me to the point where I almost fell into the prey of actually trying to call.
Oh no.
WJR.
Oh no.
Because one of the things his main thing was, well. The Democrats, because I didn't know until later on, it was the ACLU that had filed the action.
Yeah.
The Democrats have determined that minorities were too stupid to vote.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
yeah. Uh-huh.
And they've determined that, well, if they're too stupid to vote, then we just should not have the vote. Now, I'm thinking.
Oh my God.
The Democrats have carried the day, and they've invalidated the entire recall. Okay.
Daryl, hold that thought.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. Let me do a quick break here. We'll come right back. We're talking with Daryl, our D.C. bureau chief, and your phone call coming back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's so easy with propaganda. Folks, the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A fisheries expert argues for more scientific study of life at sea. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The field of conservation biology has pushed science beyond the study of living organisms to the study of ways to protect them. One scientist who works in this field says it's a pretty dry subject. In fact, he says it's too dry, and a lot more work needs to be done on conservation science at sea. Phil Levin is a fisheries biologist in Seattle for the National Marine Fisheries Service. He and a colleague examined 7 journals that focus on conservation biology to see how often they carried articles about conservation science in the marine world. They looked at more than 5,000 articles that were published since 1996, and fewer than 10% covered wet subjects. Levin says that's not completely surprising. For one thing, the people who started the field of conservation biology were experts who studied plants and animals that live on land, not in the water.
It wasn't surprising in some sense that the early work was biased towards terrestrial issues. We found it somewhat alarming given the state of some marine habitats that bias is still there.
Levin says the oceans are being strained by pollution, overfishing, and changes in the Earth's climate. He says we need more research to study these problems and to find ways to resolve them. Levin says his study of the scientific literature ended last June. That means it does not represent research that's now underway or due to start up in the near future.
And there seems to be a lot of interest and work going on marine conservation, so I'm actually very optimistic that things are going to change for the better.
Levin's study was published last August in the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're talking with our Detroit bureau chief, Daryl.
Yes.
Now, where were we?
Yes. Driving down the road.
That's right. And you're listening. You're almost ready to call WJR.
Ready to call WJR because this man has decided to say that the entire case is decided on the fact that Democrats have decided that minorities are too stupid to vote.
Right.
And as a result, we should do other things, deciding things by color. You know, Republicans, as he says, don't do that. It's only Democrats who do that, decide things by color. So he goes even to the point of, and he has a number of other ridiculous examples.
Wait on that just a second. You see, this is what really and truly infuriates me. This is what makes me want to rip somebody's head off, because it just the exact opposite is true.
Yep.
As you know, those counties, six counties in California, including L.A. County and San Diego County, that are still using punch card ballots, the mere fact that those ballots would be used would deprive so-called minorities of their vote because, like we mentioned earlier today, eight or 10% of those votes are kicked out because the Chads are not punched all the way through, and those happen to be the counties to contain an awful lot of so-called minority people. So the fact is, had the circuit court not stopped this phony-ass election, once again, so-called minorities would have their votes thrown in the trash. So Limbaugh, this pig, comes on the air and completely turns it around. And you know what's sad about this, Daryl?
They believe it.
Yeah. These white devils, these non-thinking, did I say white devil? These non-thinking freaks who listen to his program will sit there and go, yep, that's right, Rush, yep. And the next time you or I try to explain to these people, look, Limbaugh is a lying, filthy pig. They'll look at you and say, no, he's not. He's a good man. He tells the truth. You know what them Democrats are doing? They're trying to keep minorities from voting.
Exactly.
I hate this.
That's why I was almost, attempted to waste my time in calling a Clear Channel station to object to somebody that they've paid to come on the air and say this stuff. I mean, his analogies got down to saying, well, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals team is very bad, and their uniforms are brown, so. You know, since their uniforms are brown, we probably should just let everybody who is scheduled to play the Bengals just give them a win.
Oh, my God.
Just give them a win.
Oh, my God.
Okay? If I could have had hands around throat.
Oh, I know. I know.
Right?
You know, I understand. Rush Limbaugh is in his heart of hearts, he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
He's an absolute Nazi.
You know Barkop. You remember what Barkop's website used to be titled?
No. What?
It was Rush Limbaugh, lying Nazi whore.
Yeah, matter of fact, we have, do we have that, Kathy? Do we have I'm a Nazi?
Yes.
Let's see if we can find it. Daryl, I'm glad you called in.
Hey.
I'm sorry you went through that with WJR the other day, but stick with music, okay? There's a lot of good music stations in Detroit.
Actually, what I'm going to do is see if I can get some satellite radio or maybe start taping your show, so all I'm going to do is get some good stuff.
There you go.
Take care. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Daryl. You have a nice evening.
You too.
All right, sir. Do we have that... All right, it's just amazing. I can't say it. I can't get the words out. For the pig man to totally twist the truth for his brain-dead, lemming-like, thuggish listeners. Well, you know, the Democrats, they don't think people of color or minorities can vote. So that's why they did. Oh, Jesus. I understand what Daryl means, you know, that just that rush, that primal reptilian part of our brains rush. Did I say rush? To throttle something. You know what I'm saying? God, this guy just makes me sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. Please, everybody disagrees with my rap.
It is rap.
I'm horrendous. I'm falling. My ratings now are falling. I'm so full of bull, so full of crap.
Full of crap.
Condescending tribes making money selling lies.
You might say everybody hates my guts.
Hates his guts.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud, can you dig it? I'm sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic putz.
I'm a Nazi, he's a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am,
because I'm a Nazi,
he's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi,
he's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with a face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure.
Well,
my brain.
You get it. That was put together by a radio station here in Atlanta, right? 99X. The Morning Crew. Matter of fact, you can get that. And a lot of people are getting me to go, hey, where can I get that? Just do a Google search, right? And how's it on Google? You can download it from Google. 99X Limbaugh. And you can have your very own copy of that. Frank is calling from Ontario, Canada. Frank, welcome to the program. But I have to ask, we have a lot of listeners in Canada who say they can't dial the 800 number.
Exactly.
So
I was pulling my hair out for the last 6 months since I started listening to you.
Well, how did
I'm an ex. I was able to route it through an internet service provider and a third party.
Oh, I see.
Next time I'll actually be able to call direct through special calling card service.
Well, I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea that people in Canada could not just pick up and dial an 800 number.
We used to be able to.
Right.
We used to be able to, and it changed in June, apparently.
I see. You're calling from...
We used to be able to change it to an 880 number,
mm-hmm.
But this is my first time calling. So
well, welcome aboard, Frank. You're calling from...
I want to be a prospective Canadian bureau chief.
how about just a province, all right? How about just the Ontario bureau chief?
Ontario bureau chief.
Yeah, how about
Sounds
that?
Good.
All right, you got it, pal. Now,
right.
where at in Ontario do you live?
Kitchener. Which is about 3 hours from Detroit.
Yes, it is. So, it has been for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Now, what you really called about, Frank?
What I really called about was this article in the Bay Area Mercury News.
Yeah.
Where it says here that Rumsfeld was asked about a poll that indicated nearly 70% of respondents believe the Iraqi leader was personally involved.
Yeah.
He said, I have not seen any indication that would lead me to believe that I could say that. And then Dick Cheney in the same article says, but on that specific one, no, not to my knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just amazing how Cheney yesterday, now Rumsfeld, are playing this game. Like they had no idea, they had no idea that
right.
Of these specifics of what basically has led to all this war and destruction. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last night. The fact that Cheney. Matter of fact, we played the soundbite where it was Tim Russert interviewing Cheney this past Sunday.
Yeah, and, I heard that one.
Right, and that was brought up. And Cheney looks at Tim Russert as if to say, gee, I don't know how anybody could have ever thought that that was the case. It's just like Daryl, our Detroit Bureau Chief, said, at that point, you just want to wrap hands around somebody's throat, like your mama's or somebody. Certainly not Dick Cheney's, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing too is that they keep lowering the standard of the reason for attack. First, it was because they had weapons of mass destruction. Then it's because they had weapons of mass destruction programs.
Right.
And now it's just okay. They were thinking about weapons of mass destruction programs. And I heard somewhere today. I'm not sure of the source where Syria now is going to be singled out for this too. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
somebody from Canada is just. I watch this and I just feel for you. You know.
I know.
I try to visit. I come back to Atlanta quite a bit if I'm taking a trip to Florida. You know, coming back and forth.
Yeah.
I know where Toledo is. And, you know.
Yeah.
So all that pretty well all that route down there. I stop and make a visit and it's just amazing that. It seems to be polarized, like mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, for the war and the Bush administration, and people are the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like two polar opposites.
Yeah, that's very true, and it's tearing this country apart. It truly is. The level of discourse in this country has sunk into this poisonous, and I participate in it. I don't participate. I hate Republicans now. I hate right wingers. I hate conservatives. I hate the Bush crime family. And I can guarantee you that Republicans in turn hate Democrats and hate liberals and hate Clinton. And this whole country is turning into this snake pit of anger and rage and contempt and disgust, and it's going to implode. I mean, sometimes I think what's ultimately going to happen in this country is that liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans, are just going to all of a sudden explode and turn on each other and start ripping, gouging eyes out and kicking in the groin and oh my God!
I hear you.
And that's when I'm coming to.
Call Limbaugh and the people that call your show and the people that call Limbaugh, it's like
I know.
Different kinds of people. I just, you know,
well, when the
just
blood,
shake my head.
When the bloodbath starts, Frank, I'm heading for Kitchener, Ontario, okay?
You're welcome here in Canada anytime.
All right, well, Frank, thanks.
And remember, that's your birthday too, eh? Canada Day.
Yeah, there
July
you go.
1st.
July 1st, eh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Frank, thanks a lot for checking in. Don't be a stranger, and you are now the Ontario Provincial Bureau Chief, eh?
Right on.
All right,
I'll
Frank.
Talk to you again soon.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. See, I can speak Canadian.
Eh?
I know how to speak Canadian. You know. I can speak French, too. You want to hear some French? Rendezvous? How's that? Huh? Coupe de Ville? Huh? Huh?
Escargot?
Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, pal?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
I was reading this article. It was, well, the media let Bush loose. And that's pretty much, well, that's what I'm afraid of. And I'm also afraid of the voting, voting machines.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, they describe, talk about, there's two phrases that the media's been using, and one of them is the popular wartime president.
Popular wartime president.
And they repeat this over and over again, and even if his polls are plummeting.
Mm-hmm.
Another phrase is Bush unbeatable. And you hear that, if you listen to any of the
right. The
media, you hear that.
That's a damn lie.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if he was, this Canadian was talking about the same deal that I heard at Rumfield say today about, they was talking about people that was detained.
Uh-huh.
They had detained, and she wanted to know the status of them.
And he said he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, but, you know, he started to Well, didn't he start categorizing them?
Well, he said in the soundbite.
There were some that had weapons and then some that.
Right.
And then he finally said, and then at the end, then he finally said there were some that we heard that were thinking about doing something bad. And I thought, my God! They know this. They're thinking about doing something bad.
Oh, that's called the Office of Pre-Crime.
But I was also watching the. I watched a little bit of the White House press conference deal, and they asked him a couple of questions. One of them about weapons of mass destruction, and you said that'd be a good question for the. To refer to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Right. Yeah, you'll get an answer there for sure.
Yeah,
well, let me tell you something, Joe. Now, here's the way I look at it. You know, like you pointed out, Bush's so-called approval rating is down to 52% now. That's right around, not too far from where it was right before the attacks on this country on September 11, 2001. At the same time, this psychopath John Bolton, I believe he's in the State Department, he's a real murderer. He's an absolute killer. Bolton now is a accusing Syria of having weapons of mass destruction. Does this sound familiar?
I read that.
Yeah, he's also accusing Syria of sending troops. They're sneaking across the borders into Iraq and they're killing Americans. You know what's being set up here. This is what's being set up. Bush has got to get his poll numbers up. He needs to attack another country.
Well, just 2 or 3 days ago, they talking about hitting Iran? I don't guess it makes them no difference.
Well, I don't think they want to go after Iran because Iran is it's a fairly stable, good-sized country that has probably more of a nuclear weapons program than anybody knows. Syria, on the other hand, is a poor Middle Eastern country that borders on Lebanon. The Israelis could have 50,000 soldiers in Syria in about half a heartbeat. Nah, I think it's going to be Syria. I think Bush and these thugs are going to attack Syria if it comes to this in order to get Bush's poll numbers up.
Well, we may already, if it's like Vietnam, we may already be in there.
That's very true. That's very true. Hey, Joe, I'm glad you called, pal. Let me move on. I appreciate it. You have a nice evening.
Okay, you too.
All right, sir. Take care. Oh, my. Well, you folks have worn me out tonight. Bonnie is calling from Santa Fe. Bonnie, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome aboard. Glad you're listening on KTRC.
Yes, I am.
Well, good to hear from you.
I'm just delighted. What I want to say is I picked up a book from the library today. Can I say the author?
Oh, sure. You say anything you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
The book is called Anything Can Happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Roger Rosenblatt.
Oh, yeah.
And you know him?
I've read his stuff before.
Okay.
I've read Roger Rosenblatt, yes.
May I read two paragraphs?
Two paragraphs. I think we'd be out of time. Matter of fact, we're coming up on a break here real quick. Let me put you on hold. If you can think of a way to put those two paragraphs into two sentences, because when we come back, we only have 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. I'll put you on hold and come back to you in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Telling all bearing their souls just to go on the Ricky Lake show. Should I leave it? Why? Last night I turned the TV on, you were booed off stage singing your famous love songs. Why? And tell me who makes the
oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing, Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a trickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Oh, come on.
Best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
I blew out my flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top, cut my heel, had to cruise on back home.
No, don't ask. I have no idea why she's playing Jimmy Buffett.
All right, back to Bonnie in Santa Fe. Bonnie, we just have a couple of minutes, and you wanted to quote something from... who was it again? I'm sorry.
Roger Rosenblatt.
Rosenblatt, that's right. Okay, yeah. Now if you can squeeze it in, can you condense it, put it in a couple of quick sentences?
Sure.
Okay.
The first thing is that we manipulate.
Yeah.
The Bush administration, I think, is cajoling and manipulating.
Sure.
It's
hard to put two paragraphs into two sentences, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I understand.
And you put me on a spot.
Yeah, I know.
You really did.
I have a habit
of
doing
that.
That's unfair. Yeah.
It's my first time to call.
How did I put you on a spot?
By condensing two paragraphs into...
Well, Bonnie, I'm real sorry. I don't mean to put you on a spot at all. I would say to you exactly what I say to everybody else. You can't read two paragraphs on this program.
I know that.
Yeah, so if you can put it into two sentences, we'll be happy to hear it. I know that's difficult, and I'm sorry. I there's not much I can say. We have about 45 seconds before the program's over. So even if I could say to you, Bonnie, go ahead, read both paragraphs, I would have had to cut you off after about three sentences. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, listen, you have a nice evening, okay? Ah! That was scary. That was Mrs. Rush Limbaugh, I think. No? Oh, my God. I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to put you on the spot, dear, but, you know, time is as time does, you know. Nobody does two paragraphs on this program. You just can't do it. I mean, my producer won't allow me to do it, especially when you have 2.5 minutes left of the program. Okay. Well, that's a nice way to end the show tonight. All right. Anyway, again, welcome to 1480 AM WSDS, Salem, Detroit, Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, yada, yada, yada. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mucho thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster, for his incredible work. Also, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. As always, Jim, thank you. Two more Hightower book giveaways tomorrow night. Have a nice evening. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. Listen